You know, yesterday I ended with two verses, one from Vishwamitra and one from Sri Aurobindo. Now I shall repeat these two because they are very important, and I shall tell you why they are important. It will show us what was the Vedic experience and how far we need to go forward, and how Sri Aurobindo has gone forward, and in what way he has gone forward, and what is therefore directly relevant to us. When we learn history, the important question we should ask is, what was the search of people of any given time? What were they looking for? What was their quest? What was their question? What were they were searching for? And what they discovered ultimately? This whole world history is a kind of an account of a quest. And if you don't ask this question, we don't learn history. So when we study Vedic literature, we must ask, what was the quest? What were they looking for? And why were they looking for what they were looking for? It seems that Vedic rishis made at least five important discoveries. And I shall come to these five discoveries, but they were all centered on one important question: what is the highest that the human being can attain? That was their quest. What is the highest? You try your utmost. You do your utmost. And what is available to humanity? That was their basic question. And ultimately they came to realize that what we can do at the most is to attain immortality. I had already spoken about this earlier in my talk on Dharma, search for immortality. They did not like dislocation, disintegration, breaking, falling apart, division. They wanted to find a way by which this dislocation can be prevented. The utmost that the human being can do, they found, was to attain to a state of immortality which does not break, to attain wholeness, completeness. This was their search. And in the discovery of immortality, many discoveries are made, and I speak of five discoveries which were important in the Vedic experience. Now, Sri Aurobindo, when we come to our times, and we should always, when we study history, we should always keep this in view, our times and those times, now and then and now. This is how we should study history all the time. What is our need to study Veda? Because it can help us now and open the gates to the future. So we must ask the question, what do we need now? What is our need? Why should we study the Veda? So for that, Sri Aurobindo has made a tremendous study of what we need today. What is our present time? What do we need? Is it sufficient to go back to the Veda and other past experiences, past discoveries, and repeat them, revive them, re-establish them? Is it enough? Or we need to do something more, or something different, something that was not conceived before at all? And Sri Aurobindo, after making a great study, intensive study, he came to the conclusion that we need to do something quite different. We can take help of all the past discoveries, and among these discoveries, the Vedic discoveries are very important. But merely bring them back is not enough. We should, of course, learn them, acquire them, rediscover them, but that is not enough. Something quite different has to be attempted because our times are different. Now, what is that different? Sri Aurobindo called our times to be the times of a critical moment of evolution. Each word is important. Critical moment of evolution. Sri Aurobindo made a discovery of evolution in a very fundamental way. The idea of evolution, in a certain sense, is not new. And yet, in certain respects, it is new. If you read Sri Aurobindo's book called The Life Divine, which one day you will study, it's a very important work to be studied. In fact, you should keep in a program of your life that one day you will read Life Divine from cover to cover, and very well, very intensively, because that is very important. So if you study the Life Divine, you will find that the entire book is actually on the theme of evolution. It's a book on evolution. What is evolution? There are many views of evolution today. In a very striking manner, this idea of evolution was brought forth by a scientist called Darwin. You might have heard his name. Darwin wrote a book called Origin of Species, how different species have come into existence. And he spoke of an evolutionary movement by which species have grown and developed. He felt in his studies that every creature on this earth is a struggling creature. Everyone here is supposed to struggle, whether he likes it or not. Every creature, whether it is a small insect or a bird or a reptile or a biped or a quadruped, whoever, whatever it is, there is a struggle. There is a law of struggle, as it were. And without struggle, according to Darwin, no creature can survive. And there is a tremendous urge to survive. This is a basic law, as it were. Every creature on this earth wants to survive. And therefore there is a struggle for survival. And unfortunately or fortunately, the world is such that a creature is to confront a vast system which wants to devour that creature. Whoever comes into existence is being attempted to be devoured. Now, this is a new idea which Darwin put forward in the history in recent times. It was in the middle of 19th century. Now, of course, we are going into 21st century, but it was in the midst of 19th century that Darwin put forward this idea. It was felt to be a new idea, but it's not entirely new, because in India there is a very fine sentence "The eater eating is being eaten. The eater eating is being eaten. I am devouring something. I do not know that I am also myself being eaten by somebody, or there is an attempt by somebody to eat me up." But this is the small sentence in the Upanishad that we find. And Upanishad is a development from the Veda, and we shall talk about it. But this is a great sentence, "The eater is eating, and that eater is also being eaten." So you can see that there is in this world a tremendous struggle, everybody trying to devour. Without devouring, as it were, you can't survive. And yet there is a kind of a movement from behind you who is trying to eat you up. Therefore you have to struggle against that who is trying to eat you up. This is the idea which was known in India and which now Darwin put forward in a very striking manner, and he said there is a basic law in this world, and that law is the law of struggle for survival, struggle for existence. Each one is struggling. Struggling to eat and struggling against being eaten. This is what is happening all the time in this world. And then he said there is a second law, and that second law is that only a creature which develops so much of strength and power and faculties only when you become fittest, as it were, that you can survive. In this struggle, you have to develop faculties, you have to develop powers, capacities. Now he said that these faculties and powers are inescapably physical in character. The better the organ, the better the faculty that you develop, the better is your capacity to be fit. And the more fit you are, the greater is the possibility of your surviving. You have to develop new kinds of organs. There are creatures which don't have hands and feet as we have. Therefore, they could not survive as much as human beings are able to survive. Certain animals develop wings like birds, and they could survive because they develop wings, their physical wings were developed. At a certain stage of development, a brain was developed. And it is said that the human being, the human body, has a great speciality because a brain has been developed. It is this brain power, as it were, which is responsible for directing the body, directing the thought. And thought has many capacities, as a result of which, according to Darwin, the fittest instrument has been created. And therefore, man is able to survive, his fittest instrument, and will survive because of this instrument that it has been able to develop, the brain power. Now this theory that he put forward has now become very widespread in the world. If you move out in the world, you will find that people are adherents of this theory. There are opponents, no doubt, but by and large, this theory has spread all over the world with a great welcome. In his book he showed how gradually physical development, better and better organization of the body, until the development of the brain, is a great story of gradual development. Evolution is, if you ask the question, what is the meaning of evolution? The exact meaning of evolution is graduated development is evolution. Evolution is development, but graduated development. There is a step-by-step development. It's not as if everything develops at one stroke. But he admitted that at a certain time of development, there is what is called mutation. There is another word which you must understand. Mutation. Mutation means a very radical development, sudden development, like the development of butterfly. It's a mutation. You know how butterfly is produced. That is a process of sudden, remarkable development which cannot even be foreseen. if you see the precedent event and then the next event, there is so much of remarkable change that you can't even imagine that such a thing can happen. It is as if somebody comes in your surrounding with crutches, unable to even walk on the crutches, and within 3 days you find that person throwing away the crutches and running about and wrestling with you and winning your wrestle bout. That will be a mutation. Suddenly, within a short time, this capacity is developed. That is mutation. Now, Darwin accepts that at certain times of graduated development, mutation takes place. But that mutation can be traced still to the past. In development of flowers also you will see a bud suddenly opens out at a certain time with full glory, as it were. You see a small child also, suddenly a mutation takes place in the child's development. The child has only learned 2 or 3 words which the child can utter today. And after 5 days you just meet the child and you see that child speaking 6, 7 sentences. In a few days' time, this we see very often, quite easily. So Darwin said that there is evolution, graduated development. Gradually there is a war, as it were, there is a struggle for survival. And suddenly after some time, a mutation takes place. These are, you might say, miracles of the physical development. So Darwin's theory is a theory of physical evolution.